Good morning. Today's daf is daf Ayin Aleph, page 71 here in Masechta Sanhedrin. We're at the very top of the page, daf Ayin Aleph. The Mishnah said, Eino Naaseh Ben Soreru Moreh. A rebellious teen doesn't get the status of a rebellious teen until he eats meat, and as we saw yesterday, the meat is only partially cooked. He drinks very good and relatively expensive wine that he got cheaply. Tanar Abana, we learned in a brisa, Achal kolmach avalo achal basar, if he ate any food without it being meat, Shasa kolmash kevalo shasa yain, he drank a liquid, it wasn't wine. Einonasa ben soro mora, he does not become the rebellious teen. Atche yochal basar v'yishte yain, the only way he becomes a rebellious teen is to eat meat and to drink wine. Shenamar, because the pasuk said that the verse says, ki yele ish, when there will be to a man, ben, a son, Sorer umoreh, who is rebellious, zoleil v'sovei, who is stuffing himself and sating himself. So zoleil v'sovei is a reference to meat and wine. Af b'shein raya l'davri, even though there's no proof that zoleil and sovei only means meat and wine. Zeichel l'davri, there is a hint to it. Shenamar, the pasuk says, Al tihi bisovei yayin. Don't be amongst those who sate themselves with wine. Bizolulei basar lamo. Those who fill themselves zolulim in meat. So you see, zolel is connected to meat, and sovei is connected to wine. For Omer, the pasuk says, ki sovei vizolel. For the one who is sovei and zolel. Let's rest the pasuk. Ki sovei v'zolel yivareish. He will become poor. Ukraim talbish numa. So he's going to. So a person who is running after pleasures will end up wearing rags because he's going to spend all his money on pleasures, on his addictions. So eventually he won't be able to afford regular clothes, and all he's going to have is rags. Amar Abzer, Abzer had a different explanation of this last phrase, Ukraim talbish numa. Abzer read it like this, Kala yashen bevesa midrash, anyone who sleeps in a base midrash, from the word numa, Torah so naaseh slo kraim. Then his Torah becomes torn. It becomes rags. Instead of remembering all of the learning, he just remembers bits and pieces. A little bit here, a little bit there, because he was dozing in the Beit Midrash. Shenamar, that's the meaning of the verse. Ukraim talbish numag. Rags will clothe the slumber. Numa here not as read as the way it was just read. It was just read as pleasure, but now we're reading it as slumber. A person who sleeps in the Beit Midrash, so then when he tries to recall his learning, it's going to be very a piecemeal. A little bit here, a little bit there. It will be all torn up. It won't be arranged.
Any
in
punishment
a,
for dozing off in the shul?
That's
while,
the punishment.
The rabbi is talking?
This is the punishment. He won't remember what was said. He'll have a very incomplete picture or recollection of what was said. Okay, again, the Ben Sorera Moreh, the rebellious teen, is again a young man at the age of 13 who goes out, he steals from his parents, then he uses the money to buy meat, he eats it, rushed, he drinks this very, uses the money to buy wine, he drinks it, a huge amount of wine. So this is terrible. This is going to get him addicted. He's going to stay in this bad behavior. So the parents bring him into the court. He gets lashes. If he continues, then the parents bring him into the court and he gets stoned to death. So the Mishnah now explains, Ganav Mishel Aviv. It had to be that he stole from his father's money. But if Ganav Mishel Aviv, if he stole his father's money, V'achal Bershus Aviv, and the meat and wine that he purchased, he ate in his father's home. Or Mishal Acherim. It wasn't his parents that he stole from. He stole from other people. V'achal Bershus Acherim. And he ate in the home of others. Or Mishal Acherim. He stole from others. V'achal Bershus Aviv. But he ate it in his father's home. Eino Nasa Ben Sora Umora. It doesn't become a rebellious child. Why? The only way he becomes a rebellious child is if he steals from his father, but he eats it in someone else's home. What's the logic here? The fear of the Ben Sora Umor, as we've learned, is that this behavior is going to become addicting. He's going to keep up with this behavior, and it'll be a terrible loss. He's going to end up, becoming a thief in order to keep this horrible addiction and habit going. But if what he does is not something that will be easy to get addicted to, then we don't have these fears. So what happened was that he had stole from other people. It's not so easy to steal from other people. There aren't so many chances. If he steals from his parents, he's living in his parents' home. It's not so hard to go into his parents' room and take the money from wherever the money is stored. But if he steals from other people, it's not so easy for that to happen. It's not so likely for that to happen. It happened once. We're not worried it's going to become an addiction. Now, in terms of where he consumes that stuff that he bought with the money that he stole, there it's the opposite. If he's consuming it in his parents' home, that wasn't such a nice experience because he's scared his father's going to come in and find him, rebuke him. It'll be uncomfortable. So that was not a comfortable experience. It's not necessarily an addicting experience. We don't expect it to repeat itself. But if he consumes it away, so then it's a comfortable way of consuming. So it has to be that on the one hand, he stole from his parents where the money is always available and it's easy to steal, but he did the consumption somewhere else. So then already that's an experience that might become an addiction. But if he stole from others and ate where others are, so that's not necessarily going to be so easy to steal again. It's not going to become an addiction. If he stole from his parents and he ate in his parents' home, again, it wasn't comfortable to eat there, it's not going to become an addiction. Only if he stole from his parents and ate in others' homes would it become an addiction that he could become a Ben Sorer Umora.
That invitation of eating in the other's home is by invitation?
No. Wherever he ate somewhere. But he wasn't home when he was eating his stolen things.
Just walk in somebody's house and
either somebody's house or in the park.
He was stealing that food too?
He bought the food. He stole the money from his parents. Rabbi Yehuda says he only becomes a Ben Sora Umora at Sheyignov Mishal Avu Mishal Imo. He has to steal property that belonged to both his father and his mother. But if he stole property that was just his father's, then he doesn't become a Ben Sora Umora. Because again, the parents warn him. The Torah says, they say, B'neinu Zeh, this child of ours, Sorer Umora, is rebellious. Einenu Shomea B'koleinu. He's not listening to our voice. So it has to be that he's rejecting both parents, that he's stealing from both. So now the Gemara explains the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah said, Ganav Mishal Aviv, if he stole from his father, V'achal Birshus Aviv, and he ate in the domain of his father. So it's not a Ben Sora Mora. Why? Because Afgav the Shchiach Le, even though this is something which is very available to him, the money of his father, the house of his father, but he's scared when he's eating in the house of his father. He's scared that his father's going to catch what he's up to. So he's not going to continue with this behavior. However, Mishal Acherim V'achal Bershus Acherim, if he stole from others and ate in the home of others, Afgav the Lobais, even though he wasn't scared while doing the eating, so that might lead him to repeat it, but lo shchiachle, he's not going to have such money always available. It's not so easy to steal from others. Many people protect their assets and hide their assets. V'kol shekein mishel acherim. And certainly this is the case when he steals from others. V'achal birshus aviv, and he eats in his father's home, because then number one, it's not easy to do that theft, so that might not be repeated. And number two, the very act of eating wasn't a pleasant act. He was scared. His parents are going to find him. They're going to ask him what's up. They're going to rebuke him. So that's not something he's going to look to repeat. To lo shchiach, because that's number one. It's not going to be easy for him to find the money. Uvayas, and also he's uncomfortable when he's doing the eating. But when is it that we're worried that he's getting into bad habits? Achiyibna mishal avid. If he steals from his father, v'yochal birshas acherim, but he eats it out of home, in some other home. D'shkiyachle, because number one, that's money that's always available for him. He's in the house, he can steal money. The low bias, and he's not scared. It wasn't an uncomfortable experience, so he might repeat it. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, Achiyibna mishal avid v'mishal imo. He's only guilty if he steals from both father and from mother. Imo minales. The Gemara says, how would the mother have any money? Masha kansa isha kansa balo. Whatever a woman acquires is owned by the husband. Amr Rabbi Yosef Rabbanina, Rabbi Yosef Rabbanina answered, Misa'uda amuchenes lavavuli imo. What it means is that he steals from the meal that was made for father and mother. So the meal made for father and mother, father has to feed mother. That's one of his obligations. So that already belongs to mother. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Steals from the meal. V'am Rav Hanan bar Molda. Rav Hanan bar Molda said, "Am Rav Huna, the name Rav Huna, enochay v'chiyikne baser bezol v'yochol yayin bezol v'yochal yayin bezol v'yishte." We just learned it the other day that he's only obligated if he's got a cheap price on the meat and a cheap price on the wine, and he ate and he drank. But if it was an expensive price for the wine, he's not going to be guilty because that's not going to be repeated because he's not going to be able to keep up with the habit. So you see, he is stealing money. He's not stealing food. Hala'ema, so what does it mean, stealing from father and mother? Not from the food that was prepared for mother. Hala'ema, midmei suda muchanes lavuli imo. If father put aside money to buy a meal for himself and for his wife, so that's already considered the property of wife. And that is that's the money that the rebellious child stole from. And if he then uses that money to go buy meat and to go buy wine, and he got a good price on it, and he eats it in the, you know, crazy way, you know, only partially cooked, the way of the thieves, and he drinks the wine, he gets drunk, so he's enjoying it, so now we're worried he's going to be addicted to this. Before we know it, he's going to be in a very bad spot.
The main cause of it is the father, Rabbi.
Why?
Because he's buying food for him and his wife. What happened to his child? He's making the child do steal.
Well, I think the father would have, so the child would have been able to eat at the meal too.
He's the instigator, you know, the guy causing all this.
Well, I think the child could have eaten at the meal. He would have fed him too.
The father throws everything in front of the kid, you know, they're not going to go steal it.
I don't know.
Okay, so
I don't know. Women can have that stuff, can work, for example.
Okay, so right, she can say, "I'll give up on the food and let me keep my my wages." Correct. So that's the next answer. Else we can say, somebody else gave her an asset. He said to her, "I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you these monies on condition that your husband doesn't own them." So then she could have things that were given to her that he shouldn't own. So that if the rebellious child steals, that would be the rebellious child stealing an asset from his mother as well as from his father. Next Mishnah. Haya Aviv Rotze, let's say the father wanted to bring the child into court and to have the child punished as a ben sora umore, the imo eino rotze, but the mother of the child doesn't want to do it. Aviv eino rotze, the father doesn't want to do it. The imo rotze, and the mother wants to do it. Eino nasa ben sora umore, again, he doesn't become a rebellious child, he doesn't have the status of the ben sora umore. Ad sheyushneim rotzen, unless both parents are of the same mind and both want to bring him into court and punish him. Reb Yehuda Omer Reb Yehuda says, "Im lo ha'isayim ru'i la'aviv, eina nasa ben sora mora." If the mother wasn't fitting for the father, again the child cannot become a ben sora umora. Asks the Gemara, "My eina ru'i? What does it mean if the mother wasn't fitting for the father?" If you're going to say that the father is with a woman that he's not allowed to be with, it's an incest, let's say he's with his sister, and that's how there's a child, the child is a mamzer, or some other, you know, terrible prohibition, a father impregnates a married woman, so, you know, now there's a child, this is the mamzer, he's the ben soro mora. So we say that the parents are not fit for each other, they're not supposed to be married to each other, then the child is not a ben soro mora. So what? Where does the Torah say that? Sof, ultimately, avu, avu, aninu. This is the father, v'ime, ime, ninu. This is the mother. And the Torah speaks about a father and a mother. The Torah doesn't speak about people who are allowed to be married to each other and their children. A mamzer should also have the issue of ben soro mora if he's rejecting what his father and mother tell him to do. Ella, so what does it mean that they have to be fit, that the woman has to be a fit for the husband? According to Yehuda, that means b'shavel aviv ka'amar. The woman has to be the same as her husband. In other words, she has to be the same height, same voice, and she has to look like him. It's basically impossible. You're like, where do you have a wife looking like a husband and sounding like a husband and as tall as the husband? Basically impossible to ever have a ben soro mora. But only if she's fitting for him, if she's his carbon copy, then their child can be a ben soro mora.
So the only way that he could, the court punishes the son if the father and mother are on the same...
They're same height, same voice, and same similar appearance.
If one of them disagrees with the punishment...
Then also not. Right.
It will not happen.
Right.
Both have to do it.
Totally on the same page.
Okay.
Tanya Namiyachi also learned in a braisa like this. Rabbi Hudom, Rabbi Yudah says, Imlo haisa imo shavala aviv. If the mother wasn't like the father, wasn't the same as the father, bekol, in voice, uve mara, and in appearance, uve koma, and in height, eino nasa ben sora umore. The child does not become a rebellious child. Wow. My time, what's the source for this? Because the pasuk says, "Einenu shomea bikolenu." He doesn't listen to our voice. It sounds like a singular term, kolenu, like we have one voice. So mida bikol, but inan shava. So if the voice has to be the same, mara bikol ma nami binan shava. So that would mean that the height and the appearance also is the same. So
we use kol for so many generic terms.
Shma kolenu. We all have to look alike. We all have to shomea
bikolenu. That's an interesting point. Yeah.
It's also more intuitive from the pasuk that they're talking about they should have a consistent message.
Well, there's a consistent message, and apparently, yeah, they even have to look alike. So basically, it means that it can never really happen. So the Gemara says, Keman Azla, like who does the following follow? At a time, this went in a braisa. Ben sorer umore lo hayev lo asilios. A rebellious child never was, and it never will be. So why was it written in Parshas Kiseitze? Drosh v'kabel sachar. That you could interpret it, learn lessons from it. You'll get reward for your learning Torah. But it never happened. Come on, who's that like Rabbi Yehuda? That's like Rabbi Yehuda that says it. The only way it can be a ben soro more is if they look alike. Ibai same term, I can tell you Rabbi Shimon, it's the view of Rabbi Shimon, the time of looking at Bryce, some Rabbi Shimon said, because a kid, you know, stole some money and he ate some meat and he drank a little bit of wine, half a log of wine. Because of that, his parents are going to go stone him. No parent is going to do it. Every parent's going to forgive. No parent's crazy enough to be this harsh on a child. So, but the whole thing never was, never will be. Lama nichtav, why was it written? Drosh v'kabel sachar. It was written so that you could interpret something and learn from it. Maybe to learn lessons from it. But it's not something that's actually carried out. Reb Yonason disagreed. Reb Yonason said, Ani receive. I saw Ben Soru Mora. V'yashavti al kivra. I even sat on his grave. We have a similar argument in regards to the concept of Ir Hanidachas. Ir Hanidachas is a city where the majority of the members have worshipped idols. Even though if an individual worships idols, he gets stoned. If a majority of a city worships idols, they get killed by sword. So, and then all the property gets destroyed. So has that ever happened? Kiman Azla Hadatanya, like who does the following brisa follow? Ir Nidachas Lo Isa, the city of idolatry never was. V'lo Asidalios, and never will be in the future. So why was it written? Again, drosh v'kabel sachar, so that you will learn it and get reward. Kiman, who's that like? That's Kribbe Eliezer. That's like Kribbe Eliezer. The Tanya is going to get a Bryce Kribbe Eliezer. Omer Eliezer says, Kol ir sheyesh ba filu mezuza achas, eina nahaseis ir nidachas. Any city that has even a single mezuzah in the entire city, certainly if it has a chumash, or it has a Sefer Torah, or a book of Nevi'im, it could not be made in Ir Nidachas, because according to Belezer, the halacha is, you have to gather all the possessions of the Ir Nidachas into the city and burn them. You're not allowed to burn a mezuzah, because the mezuzah has God's name. You can't destroy God's name. So it can't become an irani dachas. My time was using a markar because the pasuk says, "Vas kol shlalatik boats el toch rechava," and you shall gather all of her loot into her central square, the sarafta ba'esh, and burn it by fire. So that's not possible. Because kevadika mezuzah, if there's even one mezuzah, lo efshi, you can't burn these things. The chzikas says, lo sasim kein lashem lokechem. The Torah says, destroy the idols, but don't do that to God your Lord. You're not allowed to desecrate God's name. Amr Rabbi Yonason said, I disagree again. Aniri Isiyah, I did see such a city that had been a city where most people worshipped idols. V'yashavti al tila, and I sat on its mound, on the ruins of it. All right, a third set of halachot that maybe are never practical. Kaman az lakud is the following follow. Hadatana Sunutin Abraisa. Bayitamanugalo ayavalo atiblihiyot. V'lama nichtav d'rosh v'kabel sachar. A house that has tzara'as in it, that there is tzara'at growing on the walls of the house, and the Torah says, take apart the stones. It never was, it never will be. Why was it written? Just that you should interpret it. Kiman, who's that like? Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. That's like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. The Tanan, we went to the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says, La'olam en abayis tamei, a house cannot become impure as with tzara'at, ad shi'ira kishtei grisin, al shtei avanim, b'shtei k'salim, b'keren zavis. It would have to be two grisin on two stones that are on two walls on a corner. Arko kishnei grisin. This has to be on the corner of the house where the two walls meet, and the length of the tzara'at has to be at least two grisin, half on this wall, half on the next wall. And the virachbo, and the width of this blotch has to be a gris, so that on each wall there is exactly a gris by a gris. And since that's totally unlikely, that's why you're never going to have tzara'as in a house. Tzara'at in houses. Tzara'at could be on a person, but it never happened on a house, he said. It's very, very difficult.
Didn't they have to bring Kohanim to do that too, Rabbi?
Yes, sure. So my time of the Blessed Rabbi Shimon was using the Blessed Rabbi Shimon, save because the verse says kir, it says a wall, hinea nega v'kiros habayis shafal min akir, uksiv kiros, and it says walls. So Izeo Kir Shuhu Kikiros. So what's the wall that is like walls? Have Yomer Zakaren Zavis? That means it has to be on the corner. Tiny Lincoln and Bryson Blessed Rabbi Tzadok Makom Hayabitzchum Aza. I disagree. There was a place in the area near Gaza City. Hayukorn Oso Churvata Skirta. They used to call this place Churvata Skirta. In other words, the rune of Tzara'as, that in the past there had been there a house of Tzara'as and it had been taken apart. So you see that there are houses of Tzara'as.
It's not a natural thing, Tzara'as. It's Hashem bringing on Tzara'as. So
right.
I'm not sure what the debate is, whether it's
right.
Possible or not.
That's also true. Good point. Very good point. Reb Shimon Ishkfar Akko, Reb Shimon, the man of the village of Akko, said, Pa'am Ach Zalachti LeGalil. I once went to the Galil, to the Galilee, to the north, very easy, Makom Shem Etzayin Oso. I saw a place that they were specifying. V'amru, and they said, Avan, that they had specified that place. They said, you know, don't be a tent over it, you'll become Tamei. And Amru, they explained, Avan Amenu goes, Pinu L'Sham, that they had stones from a tzara'at house that they had put there. So again, you see that there are buildings that have tzara'at against the view of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon.
The whole Gaza is filled with buildings.
Gaza is filled with tzara'at.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Gaza was the place where they had the ruin of tzara'at.
Rabbi, we have things all the time in Torah that are impractical. So there's Chazal, there's Torah Shabbat, which redefines it. But here we're not doing that, like Ben Torah, or like, you know, eye for an eye, we don't do literally.
Right. That's right.
But they're not like.
Yeah, apparently the whole point of the Ben Soro Mora is to teach you lessons, but not that it should ever be carried out, apparently. Next Mishnah, Haya Echad Me'en Gidim, if one of the parents is missing an arm, missing a hand, O Chiger, or he's missing a leg, he's lame, O Ilame, or he can't speak, O Sumo, or he's blind, O Choyresh, or he doesn't hear, in Unasa Ben Soro Mora, the child can't become a Ben Soro Mora. Shenamar, because the verse says, V'saf Suvo Avivimo, and his father and mother will grab him. That means they have to have hands. If the father's missing a hand, he can't grab him. V'lo Gidmin, so that excludes those who are missing hands. V'hotziroso, and they will take him out. They'll drag him out. That means they have to walk out themselves. V'lo Chigrin, not if they are lame and they have a problem walking. V'amru, and they will say to the court, V'lo Ilman, so that means it can't be people who are mute. They'll say, B'neinu Zeh, this son of ours. This son of ours, they have to be able to see him. V'lo Sum, they can't be blind. Then they say, Enenu Shomea B'koleinu, he's refusing to listen to us. Now, if somebody doesn't hear, how does he know someone's refusing to listen? Only if someone can he hear the person who he talks to say to him, no, I refuse to listen to you. But if someone doesn't hear, and he says something and the person doesn't do it, maybe it's not that he's refusing, maybe he's just delaying to do it, he's going to do it a little bit later. So if they don't hear, then that means that they can't be people who don't hear. They have to be able to know that he's rejecting their instruction. Okay, so now, if all these things are met, if, you know, he stole and he ate it in the right, ate the right things, he ate it in the right place at the right time. So then, Masrim bo b'fnei shlosha, the parents warn him in front of the bezdin, in front of the court. Umalkinoso, and the court gives him lashes. Chazer v'kilkel, if he goes back, he does it again. Now he gets judged by the 23, and he can be stoned. However, it would have to be that the first three judges who had been there at the time of the lashes are there also now at the time that he's being stoned. Because it says, B'neinu Zed, this son of ours. In other words, Zehu shalaka b'fneichem, this one who you were the ones when he got lashes, is now, he repeated it, so now he should be killed, and they are the ones who say, yeah, maybe yes, maybe he gets stoned.
But the parents are not allowed to be the witness. They have to be two witnesses.
Yes, that's true.
On the top of the parents, right?
Right, I think so. I think so. So the warning here is the parents are rebuking him. The parents are rebuking him. And, right, the parents are rebuking him, and he gets lashes, and then if he does it again, and they bring him back to court again, so now he could be killed.
Rabbi, what happens if the mother all of a sudden, when the decision is made to stone him,
After it was made,
she changed her mind and says, you know,
I don't know.
You know, my son behaved, or, you know, she.
Yeah, I don't know.
She got the inner stories, and.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a good
so
question.
So they stopped the stoning?
Exactly. I don't know. Shamat Minah, we see from here, from the fact that the Mishnah says that if the parents are missing a hand or a leg, beaten krakid chsiv, that whenever you have an apasuk, you have to take the pasuk totally literally, and the pasuk has to be fulfilled in its most literal sense. So maybe not. Shiny acha. Maybe here it's different. Tekule kra yaseiru. This is an extra pasuk. Umasim b'fnei shlosha, and they issue this warning, this rebuke in front of three. Lamali asks the Gemara, why do the parents need to rebuke him in front of three? Betray sagi. They could also rebuke him in front of two. And those two could then say that he didn't listen to the rebuke, he repeated it. And then the court could give him lashes or could kill him. I'm Rabbi Abaye Sadach Yigam, this is the way to read the Mishnah. Masim bo b'fnei shnayim. First, he gets warned in front of two who say to him. First, he's warned in front of two. And those two say, listen, we heard the parents warn him and he didn't listen. Malkadosa b'fnei shlosha. That they testify in front of three, and with the parents there, and then those three give the lashes. So the Gemara now asks, Malkus b'ven sora mora hechaksiva. Where does the Torah say that before the Ben Soro Mora is killed first, he gets lashes. Then if he does it again, he gets killed. Answer the Gemara, Kedir Bavo, this was based on a series of Gzeiro Shavos. Amar Bavo, Bavo said, it says about Motzi Shem Ravalak Chuziknia Irahi Esa Ish V'Yisru Oso. It says by Ben Soro Moren and Rishomea Bakol V'Vimo V'Yisru Oso. So Yisru in Ben Soro Mora means Malkus. How do we know that? Yisru is learned from the word Ben. It says Ben Soro Mora. And it says Ben in the Pasuk Mi Ben Vahaya in Ben Akosa Rasha. So just like Ben Akosa Rasha is Malkos, so to Ben Soro Mora is Malkos. It says V'Yisru Oso to say that even Motzi Shemra is also Malkos, is also lashes. Okay, Chazer V'Kilkel, if he repeated the misdeed, Nidon Be'asim V'Shlosha, then he would be judged in the court of 23 and stoned. Ask the Gemara, Hai mi Ba'ale, but we need this pasuk to teach me, right, when it says B'nei Nuzeh, this child, not just that it's the same court, the same with the three judges now part of the 23, Hai mi Ba'ale, but we needed for Zeh V'lo Sumin, this child, so that the parents have to be people who see, not parents who are blind. So now, Imkain, if it was for the idea of stoning, Lichtov B'neinu, who? Could have said, this is our son, who has been our son, who's been before you before. My B'neinu Zeh. Why did it say this child of ours? Shema min atarti, that's to teach us both things, both that they have to see, and that the judges are the same who were in the past. All right, Barach HaTshelo Nigmar Dina. Let's say this child runs away before the court can convict. By the time we caught up with him, his hairs have grown. It's already past the 3 months. So now, Pater, now we can't give him stoning. Because once his body changes, the law changes. Right? If he would do it now, he wouldn't be killed. Now we don't judge him for what had happened earlier.
What happened? They put his pants down to choose,
yes,
for
course,
inspection?
Yes, of course they have to. Yeah. Absolutely, it would save his life.
Okay.
The image and...
Yeah,
regular thief. Yeah. The image and Igmar Dino Barach. And if after they already convicted him, then he ran away, then he's, you know, more hairs grew there, then they caught him chayav, they would stone him to death, even though at the time that he was stoned, he couldn't anymore become guilty. He had already been guilty, he'd already been convicted. Once he's convicted, it's as if they carried it out. So once it was carried, you know, that's it. So now we're just carrying out what's already been carried out, so now he gets put to death.
So he could be convicted, and then he has no hair. In 6 months, he has hair, and then that convention comes back.
Yeah, then we kill him. Yeah. Amr Bchanin. Reb Chanina said, "Ben Noach Shabir Ches Hashem." Let's say you have a non-Jew who curses God's name, and then before he can be punished, Nisgayer, he converts to Judaism. Pater. So now he's not going to be put to death. In other words, before he had converted as a non-Jew, so as we learned, non-Jews can be judged with a single judge, can be a single witness, they don't need a warning. But now, this sin requires 23 judges, it requires two witnesses, requires a warning, and also the nature of the death changes. A non-Jew who curses God's name is killed by sword, because all the non-Jews are killed by sword for their violations. Whereas a Jew who curses God's name, heaven forbid, he gets stoned to death. So the law of this person has changed. So therefore, he is exempt. What are we going to do for him? He's a Jew now. We're going to give him death by sword. That's not the right punishment for a Jew. So he would become acquitted. That's the Chiddush. So the Gemara now says, maybe our Mishnah should be a proof to it. Name a misayelit. Let's suggest that our Mishnah is a proof to Rav Chanina. Because our Mishnah says, Baruch HaShelo Nigmar Dino, if the Ben Soro Mora runs away before the court case is finished, before the conviction, V'yachkach Yikivzak Matachton, and then his body matures and he has more hair, Pater, he's exempt from death. So my time, why is he exempt? Lav Mishum Damin Hol V'yishtani Yishtani, because we say, now his law has changed. Because if he would eat now, he would be exempt. Therefore, he is exempt. That's a proof to Reb Chanina that if a person changes, like became from a non-Jew to a Jew, he gets out of the death penalty. So Gemara says, "Lo, it's not necessarily a proof. Shani Hacha here may be different. Yavid Hashalav Bar Ktalahu. If now, after you know the hairs grew, he would do this—the stealing of the money and eating of the meat and the wine—he wouldn't become a Ben Sora Mori. He wouldn't be guilty at all. But a non-Jew who curses God's name, so he's guilty for cursing God's name. If he converts, maybe he stays guilty, because even after he converted, were he to curse God's name, he would be guilty. So maybe that's not the same thing. So you can't draw a proof from our case to there. So the Gemara now suggests maybe something else is a proof to Reb Chanina. Tashma, coming here, a proof from the end of the Mishnah. Imi shenigmar dino barach, if he was convicted, and then he ran away. Yachkach hivkusakan, and then by the time we find him, the hairs have grown in, we still will give him the sentence. Whereas according to Reb Chanina, if the non-Jew becomes a Jew, he doesn't get punished. So this should be against the view of Rabbi Chanina. So the Gemara says, no, Nigmar Dino Kamarta. This is after there was a conviction. Once there's a conviction, Nigmar Dino Gavrik Tilahu, it's the person who's already dead. Therefore, the law doesn't change because he changed. But in Chanina's case, maybe the law would change. He did something as a non-Jew, now he became a Jew, so now the law should change for him. Tashma, coming to your proof, we learned in a brisa, Ben Noach Shikas Chaveiro, if a non-Jew kills his friend, Uva Aleshas Achiv, or he has relations with a woman who's married, and then Niskayer, before he can be convicted, he converts. Patri doesn't get put to death. However, Asa Kain be Yisrael. But if the non-Jew killed a Jew, or the non-Jew was with a woman, a Jewish woman who was married to a Jew, and this guy, and then he converts, Chayav, he can be put to death. So one second. V'amai, according to Chanina, why? Name a hoil v'ishtani ishtani. Why don't we say, well, his law has changed, right? When he was a non-Jew, he could be convicted by a single judge. Now that he's a Jew, he's convicted by 23. So let's say the law has changed. And if the law has changed, he should be, in fact, exempted, the way Reb Chanina said. So the Gemara says, no, dino musaso ba'inan. To exempt someone because the law has changed, it's not just that the way in which he would be convicted is to change, but also the type of death has to change. V'hai, but a non-Jew who kills a Jew or who has relations with a Jewish married woman, and then he becomes a Jew, Dino Ishtani, okay, it's true, how he would be judged would change. He used to be judged by 23, now used to be judged by 1, now he's judged by 23. But Misasa Lo Ishtani, but the nature of his death didn't change. Because if a non-Jew does this to a Jew, he gets the same punishment as a Jew who does it. So therefore, he's not exempted. So one second, Mishma Rotzeach, okay, murderer, that's fine. Meikara Besayit, a non-Jew who kills a Jew gets killed by beheading. Now, if a Jew were to kill a Jew, also he'd get killed by beheading. So his law hasn't changed because he became a Jew. Ela Eishes Ish, but the non-Jew has relations with a Jewish woman who's married. Meikar Besayif, as a non-Jew, the punishment would be death by sword. Vashta, but now that he became a Jew has relations with a married woman, is chenek. They get killed by choking. So now he has a new punishment. So a new punishment, we should say that the law changes. So Gemara says, the case of the Braisa is benayra morasa, a non-Jew who had relations with a 12-year-old who was betrothed, where the punishment is stoning. Had he been a non-Jew when he did it, he would get stoned. Now that he became a Jew, if a Jew does it, also he gets stoned. So therefore, the law of the death didn't change. Since the death that he's now deserving didn't change, that continues to be with him, and he now gets judged as a Jew.
As I put it, the punishment for a Jew and a Gentile is almost the same, right?
Sometimes. Yeah. So Gemara says, well, I don't agree with that. For us, it can be Yisrael, Dumi, Deishas, Chaveiro, Katani. But the Braisa says, first it talks about the non-Jew who does it with a non-Jew, who kills a non-Jew, he has relations with a married woman who's a non-Jew. And then it talks about him doing it to a woman, a Jewish woman, who's married to a Jew. So one second, a non-Jew doesn't have the possibility of arusa. There's no erusin in non-Jews. So by definition, it's a married woman, fully married, nesua. So it must be here too. It must be referring to nesua. Allah, so you're right. It is talking about where the non-Jew had relations with a woman who was nesua to a Jew. And even so, we're saying that the death didn't really change. Kala b'chamura meshach shaycha. The more strict death includes the lesser death. So here, a non-Jew who has relations with a Jewish woman when he's a non-Jew, he would get beheading. Now he became a Jew. If he would have done this as a Jew, he would get choking. Choking is worse than beheading. So choking includes beheading. It's worse. So since it's worse, it's not going to change his law. He's not going to become exempt because he became a Jew. So Gemara said, but that's not so clear. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, the opposite. It's saying that choking is less than beheading. Beheading is worse. So since he would have gotten beheaded as a non-Jew, so now that he became a Jew, that's not going to let him off. He's already guilty. Beheading would have included choking. That works according to the Rabbanu who say that beheading is worse than choking. El Rabbi Shimon Amar Chenek Chamer, but Rabbi Shimon holds that choking is worse. So now again, Ma'ikel Amim, what are you going to say? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Savar LaKatana Debi Menashe. Rabbi Shimon himself, it's not a problem. Because he holds like the Brisa of the Yeshiva of Menashe, the Amr that holds, call me some word of name, Noachin El Chenek. He holds that the non-Jews, whatever sins they do, they get the punishment of choking. So Mara says, Bishma Eishas Ish. So okay, that works then, according to Bishimon, the case of the Brisa about a non-Jew who was with a Jewish woman who was married. Mei Karachenek, what he did as a non-Jew would have gotten him the punishment of choking. Vahashtas, now that he converts, also Chenek, he's deserving of choking for being with a fully married woman. Elarot Seach. But what about the earlier case of the Brisa, the non-Jew who murders? Mei Karachenek. According to Bishimon, all punishments of a non-Jew are choking. So initially he would have gotten choking. But now that he converted, Saif, he gets sword. So if he gets sword, so that's a different punishment. So then he shouldn't be given that punished. He should get off the hook. It's the Gemara again, Kala b'chamura, meshach shaycha. According to Bishimon, sword is less than choking. Choking is more strict. Since choking is more strict, he would have gotten choking had he stayed a non-Jew. Now that he changed to a Jew, he's going to get sword for this. Okay, that's included in choking, so therefore he still gets the punishment. So now the Gemara brings a proof to Rabbi Chanina from a Braisa. We know again that a Nara Ma'orasa, if a 12-year-old who is betrothed sleeps with a man other than her husband, she gets stoned. Nairus is a total of 6 months. After that, she becomes a bogeres. If a bogeres is ma'orasa, she doesn't get stoned. She gets choked. Says the Gemara, lema mesayele. Maybe we can bring a proof to Rabbi Chanina that if the laws change, a person gets off the hook. Because we learned in a braisa, sarcha, if you have a naira ma'orasa who engages in illicit relations with someone other than her husband, and then before they could even convict her, Bagra, she ran away and she matured, she became a Bogeres. Tidon Bechenex, and now she gets punished with choking. But Beskila my time alone. But why won't we give her stoning? But that's because her body has changed. So that since the body changed and she went from being deserving of stoning to choking, we can't give her stoning. So certainly with a non-Jew who curses God's name and then he converts, Dishtani Lagamre, everything's changed. Not only is the nature of the punishment changed, but the process of how to judge him has changed. Instead of a single judge, now he deserves 23 judges. So certainly he's fully exempt. So Gemara says maybe not. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan l'tana. Rabbi Yochanan said to the Amora who taught this braisa, Tni, you have to change it, not to say that the Bogeres gets chenek, but rather Tidon Biskila, she still gets stoned. Because since the sin was done when she was a Nara, and that's a sin that deserves stoning, even though her body has changed, she still gets stoned. And if so, that's against Rav Chanina. We should say that if a non-Jew curses God's name, and then he converts, even though now as a Jew things would be different, but we should still judge him for what he did when he was a non-Jew, and he should still get the punishment of beheading. Says the next Mishnah, Ben Soru, More Nidon Al Shem Sofo. The rebellious child is punished and put to death, not because of what he did, what he stole, he ate, he didn't listen to his parents. That's not capital crimes, but it's because of what he's going to do in the future, because he's going to continue with this, going to get used to this terrible lifestyle. He's going to steal to sustain it. Yamus zakai val yamus chayav. Better he should die innocent before dying guilty. Shemisasun shal rishayim anaya lahem v'anaya la'olam. If the wicked die, it's good for them and good for the world. Tzadikim ra lahem v'ra la'olam. If the tzadikim die, it's bad for them and bad for the world. Yain v'shen el rishayim anaya lahem v'anaya la'olam. Wine and sleep for the wicked is good for them and good for the world. The tzaddikim ra lahem v'ra la'olam. For the tzaddikim, wine and sleep is bad and bad for the world. Pizul rishayim anaya lahem v'anaya la'olam. For the wicked to be scattered and separated is good for them and good for the world. The tzaddikim, for the tzaddikim, ra lahem v'ra la'olam, it's bad for them and bad for the world. Kinos l'rishayim, gathering all the wicked together, ra lahem v'ra la'olam, is bad for them and bad for the world. For the tzaddikim, for the righteous, anaya lahem v'anaya la'olam, it's good for them and good for the world. Sheket l'rishayim, ra lahem v'ra la'olam. Living in tranquility without sorrows and difficulties is bad for the wicked and bad for the world. For the tzaddikim, for the tzaddikim, anaya lahem, it's a benefit for them, anaya la'olam, and it's good for the world. Yeah, sure, we can say Kaddish Rabbanan.
Amen. Yeah.